For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
And to have a heart that will receive the Word of God, praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer this morning. It's a good time to come around the Word of God. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the clarity of your Word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are made new creatures in Christ through believing on him. We thank you, Lord, that salvation is opened up to us like a banqueting house, and we praise you, Lord, for that. And Father, I ask that this morning your Spirit would move upon the hearts of everyone here, everyone listening, that there would be an understanding of your will through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You know, the Bible's very clear that when we come to Christ, there has been a work in us, a work done in us. The Bible says we're being created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So a work is done in us. We are made, what the Bible says, new creatures in Christ. And we should acknowledge what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us continually. There should be an acknowledgement as we walk our Christian walk, as we walk the walk of faith. We have a heart full of thankfulness, full of joy, full of appreciation for the fact that we've been taken out of the power of darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at Ephesians 1 verse 3 as we're looking today at part 2 of confessing who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ. We are not nobodies. We were nothing and we were dead in trespasses and sins. But now God has done a work in us if we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done a work in us. And Ephesians 1 verse 3, we'll start off with this one. And this one, we know that there has been a work in us. Ephesians 1 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Notice the word "in Christ." Are you in Christ today? The Bible says if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you're outside Christ. You're outside of Christ. So we who have received Christ are now in Christ. We are in Christ. So we should say that. I am in Christ. Let's say that. I am in Christ. Praise the Lord. It's a good confession to make. And we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Let's say that. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Glory to God. This is something for us to understand. We're not cursed. If you're in Christ, you're not a cursed person. You're not a person who should be under the circumstances. No, you're victorious. You have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You always triumph in Christ. These words, confession, should be in your mouth according to the Word of God. Look across to Ephesians 2, verses 12 to 14. Just another chapter across, Ephesians 2, 12 to 14. But now, that at that time ye were, what? Without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, are there many people in that situation? Yes, indeed. Those who aren't born again are in this precise situation. They're without Christ. They're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and that includes spiritual Israel. In other words, they have no idea what spiritual Israel is about. They're aliens from it. It's like an alien thing to them. They just don't understand it. And strangers from the covenants of promise, they don't understand anything about the promises of God or the blessings of God that are available in Christ. Okay, they have no hope. No hope of eternal life. No hope. They think, some of them think they have hope, but what's hope if you don't have Christ? You have no idea where you're going after death. You don't know from one day to the next whether you're going to die or whether you're going to be sick or whether this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It goes from curse to curse. And without God, where? In the world. In the world. The world lieth in wickedness, the Bible tells us. It is filled with sin. Now, verse 13 is one of great hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, notice once again, in Christ we see, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That means really close to God, really close to God by the blood of Christ. You've been bought with a price. Let's say that. I have been bought with a price. Let's say it again. I have been bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Christ. The Bible says the life is in the blood. And obviously the life in the blood of Christ was eternal life. Praise God. So we have the life that has brought us nigh to God by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is what? Our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So there was a wall between us and God. A wall, the wall of sin, the wall of transgression. That has been broken down so that now we have access to God. Now we have peace with God. This is what God wants us to know. We have peace. And who is our peace? He is our peace. So we can say, Christ is my peace. I have peace even in the midst of a world full of turmoil and trouble. We have Christ in us. We're in Christ and he is the God of peace. Praise the Lord. So we can say with our mouths that he is our peace. Praise God. We know that 2 Corinthians 5:17, we won't turn to that, we looked at the last time, but the Bible says that in Christ we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. So what old things were holding you back? What old parts of the curse and so on were holding you back? Now, it's all new. You are blessed, you have peace, you have prosperity, healing, you have deliverance, and what is available to you are all the benefits of God. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Philemon 1 verse 6. Philemon verse 6. Now, this is important for us to understand because there are many people who have no idea, even in the churches, they have no idea of who they are in Christ. They might say, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner. But is that really what you are? That's not what God says. He says you're righteous. How can you be righteous and a sinner at the same time? You can't be, because you became servants of righteousness. You've been changed. You've become a new creature. So you're not an old sinner. You're no longer a sinner if you've received Christ. You're now a righteous saint of God. Righteous saint of God. Filled with God's joy. Glory to God. And this is something we've got to take hold of. This is something we've got to walk in, speak it out. And Philemon verse 6, just before the book of Hebrews, it tells us that by the communication of thy faith, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we see in Christ Jesus is here again. But what do you have to do if you want your faith, the communication of your faith, to be effectual? What do you have to do? You have to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. You have to acknowledge it. You have to use your mouth. You have to say, I acknowledge that this is what I have in Christ. These are the good things in me. I am a new creature in Christ. I am righteous in Christ. I have the wisdom of God in Christ. I have strength in Christ. I am blessed in Christ. Can you see what I'm saying here? So let me read this out again, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Do you think that there is a problem with the communication of people's faith if they don't acknowledge this? Do you think it's going to affect their witness if they're not acknowledging every good thing which is in them in Christ Jesus? Indeed, there are people who profess Christ, but they go through life and they're speaking all the different things. Instead of saying that they're blessed, they say they're cursed. Okay? Instead of saying they're redeemed, they say, oh, I'm just under the circumstances, and all types of things are going wrong in my life. And they concentrate on that rather than concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't the Bible say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? So what should you be looking unto? Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one. He's the one that will sustain you even through a world full of sin, full of turmoil, full of disaster. This is something we have to link into, hook into our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. This is a wonderful section of Scripture relating to this subject. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. You know, old things are passed away. We can't be looking back longingly to what we were as sinners, or what we had in the world as sinners and so on. We must look forward. We must go forward. And notice what Paul the Apostle says here in Philippians 3, starting from verse 7. He says, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. There's a lot of people who like the adulation, the praise of man. They like people giving them a great pat on the back, or promoting them, or showering them with praise. This is why I don't like some of these talent shows on television. They're so man-oriented. And you know, we know that any talents anyone has come from the Lord. Any gift anyone has come from the Lord. But there's no gratification or thanking the Lord for that. It's all man-oriented. And it's so sad, because you see young people sucked up into that, thinking they're something when they're not. And without God, they would be nothing. So what should their acknowledgement be? But Lord, you are the one who has given me everything I have. It's the same with every one of us. Okay? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So you can see here that the value he places is on the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now notice that word excellency. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. We have to be excellent in understanding or having the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to come up to a great understanding of who he is. How do we do that? Through the Word of God, isn't it? Through looking into his Word and seeing what he's done, what he's made us, how he's changed us, who we are and what we should be doing now in Christ Jesus. And we must have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, there's some Christians, they go about in the world as though they don't know who Christ is or what he's done. You know? What he's made them. They act like the old man rather than saying, I have the new man on the inside of me. The new inner man. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. And now I have to have my mind renewed. I have to have my mind trained. Have my body trained. Now I have to live according to the principles of the Word of God. And that's the victorious principles. That's the principles of blessing and strength. But we have to see the other things, the adulation of man, the ways of the world and so on. We have to see it, as Paul says, count them but dung. In other words, rubbish. Stuff that you would discard. Not link your life to that, but link your life to eternal things. And the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord, is to know Him in an excellent way. That knowledge must be in us to such an extent that it just flows out of us. You don't have to struggle to think who you are in Christ. It's just in there. You know it. You know you're the redeemed. You know you're a king and a priest. You know you reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. These things must come to you very, very quickly. Verse 9 says, and be found where? In Him. Notice that word in again. In Christ. In Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we are now righteous. We don't have our own righteousness. Jesus took our sin and gave us His righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? So we are righteous by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has made us in right standing with God. Before God now, we can say, Lord, we can come with access, bold access, to the throne of grace. Glory to God. There is a boldness we can have in God. And this is why we can boldly say the Lord is our strength. Boldly say the Lord is our helper. Boldly say that we are redeemed. Boldly say that we are victorious. Not in our own strength. As he says there, not with our own righteousness, but with the righteousness that we have by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it says in Him. Because remember, we read before, if you're in the world outside of Christ, you don't have access to any of this. This is only in Him. You see, many think they have a knowledge of Christ, but their confession doesn't reflect this excellency. Our confession, our belief and confession must reflect the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Okay? If you're a person that says, well, I have the knowledge of Christ, but your confession is all over the place and you say things contradictory to the Word of God and call yourself cursed when the Bible says you're blessed with all spiritual blessings, things like that, then you don't have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. But we need to have that. If we are to walk in this dark, sin-filled world, we must have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Because there is so much deception. We have the god of this world, Satan. He is deceiving, the Bible says he deceiveth the whole world. He is deceiving the world. And, you know, there are temptations that come against us. The Bible calls it the fiery darts of the wicked. What do we have to hold up against that? The shield of faith, the Bible tells us. So we must be people that are ready and have excellency of the knowledge of Christ in us. And the only way we can have excellency of the knowledge of Christ is to expose ourselves to the Word of God, get it in our heart, so that it is grafted in there. It is grafted in there. Have a desire to know. There is no excuse for anyone saying, particularly in this church, no excuse for anyone saying, I don't know the Word of God. There is access to the Word of God. Let's get into it. Let's take hold of it and know who we are. Have a knowledge of Christ and speak it out as the Word of Christ dwells richly within us. Have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. verses 26 to 31. There's a good confession here I want us to acknowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Starting from verse 26, it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Okay, let's understand this. The wisdom of the world is actually foolishness. You know, I was just watching a program recently which described all the intricate systems of the planet Earth. Wonderful systems. And then they related it to the doctrine of evolution. And I'm thinking, how blind? How blind is this? This is the wisdom of the world. We came about by nothing but chance, random processes. That's rubbish. We came about by the design of God, by the knowledge of God, by the wisdom of God. Nothing came about by chance. So here we see that there is a calling we have. And not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why? Because they're trusting in other things, in themselves and so on. Verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." This is what saddens me. We see so much of flesh glorying, so much of flesh glorying in as you look around you, you see so much of flesh glorying and the exaltation of the ways of the flesh. But notice what it says in verse 30. It says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus." Whereabouts are we? In Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. This is important for us to get hold of. I've said it over and over again. Where are you now? You're in Christ Jesus. And it says here, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Praise the Lord. We don't have to and we shouldn't glory in the flesh. Okay? But we should glory in the Lord. We should glory in the Lord. This is what he's done for us. Do you think you need to open your mouth to glory in the Lord? I believe you do. You do, don't you? You have to say something. You have to let your mouth say something. Glory in the Lord. You have to confess that Christ is made unto us, made unto me, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let's say that Christ is made unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, you can say, "I am wise in Christ." You may not feel like that, but you can say, "I'm wise in Christ because he's made unto me wisdom." You can say, "I am righteous in Christ." You may not feel righteous, but you can say, "Because I'm in Christ Jesus, I am righteous in Christ." You can say, "I am sanctified in Christ." You may not feel sanctified, but you can say, "I am sanctified in Christ. He is my sanctification." You can say, "I am redeemed in Christ. He is my redemption. He has provided me redemption so that I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am redeemed, brought back from the curse of the law. I am blessed now through the redemption that has been made available to me." Christ is made unto us all these things. And this is what we need to glory in. This is what we need to confess. This is what we need to acknowledge. And glory continually in Christ continually. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6. This is a well-known scripture, and it's also one that we should put into our mouths. Praise the Lord. Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6. It says here, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." We can say, "I am loved of God." We are loved of God. He loved us. We are washed. We are washed from our sins in the blood of Christ. We are washed people. We are washed and cleansed people. We have been made kings and priests unto God. We are a royal priesthood, the Bible tells us. We've been made kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is what we glory in. This is what we link to, because it goes right into the future forever and ever. Right past this time, right past the end of the world, right into the future. You know, when you're in Christ, you should be ruling and reigning, but you've got to put it into your mouth. You've got to say, "I reign in Christ. I am a king and a priest. I have been washed. I've been redeemed. I am free." Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. There are some valuable lessons in this section of Scripture that we need to understand, put into our heart, make sure that we glory in God, confess with our mouths this, acknowledge the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2, starting from verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." If you can get a revelation of this, it is a powerful revelation. Now, we are a chosen generation. We've been chosen. Chosen. See yourself as a chosen person. We are a royal priesthood. We do offer sacrifices to God. The sacrifices of thanksgiving. The sacrifices of giving. The sacrifices of praise. We are a royal priesthood. Royal tells us we should be reigning. Not under the circumstances. Not embroiled in the trouble. Let not trouble come into your heart. Be not troubled. A royal priesthood and holy nation. Holiness. A peculiar people. The word peculiar is important. We shouldn't say that's not right. Peculiar just means that to other people, they don't understand. We do stand out. There's no doubt about it. In contrast to the world, we stand out. And we should. There is no way we should be conforming to the world. We shouldn't be thinking like the world, or acting like the world, or speaking like the world. And so, of course, we'll come across as peculiar or standing out. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him. Praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We were in darkness, but now we're in His light. Marvelous light. We have the marvelous light of God in our life. The marvelous light is in us. We're being called into His marvelous light, and that's only in Christ. Verse 10, which in time past ye were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we can say that I've obtained mercy in God. I have the mercy of God. In fact, the Bible says the mercy of God compasses us about, and goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. This is what we have in Christ. He is our shepherd. We're not directionless. And verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, that's words and actions, your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, it may seem at times difficult to go against the whole flow of the world, but as we are consistent in God, we have our conversation honest among the Gentiles, those that are outside of Israel, outside of spiritual Israel. We know that will be a witness. That will be a witness. But we should be confessing something that's very clear in verse 11. It says, as strangers and pilgrims. And of course, Hebrews 11 says that the people of faith should confess that we are strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. Let's say that. I am a stranger and a pilgrim upon the earth. I am a stranger and a pilgrim upon the earth. You are not part of the world. You're a stranger to it. You are not linked forever to the world. You are a pilgrim. You're going through. You are here for a particular purpose. Life is a vapor. It's a short period of time. And what we do on the earth now matters in eternity. We might not know the full scope of it now because we look through a glass darkly, but it matters. What we do know is it matters. And if we're like Paul and say, I count those things as dung, but I count the excellency of the knowledge of Christ as very valuable, then that's what's going to come take you into the future with good things. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Romans 5. Just two more scriptures we'll go through. Romans 5, verse 17. And here's a good confession that we can make in Christ. Praise the Lord. Romans 5, verse 17. Because we've been made a royal priesthood. We saw that before. We've been made kings and priests through Christ. Romans 5, verse 17 is a wonderful scripture linked to that. Linked to that. It says, for if by one man's offence, obviously that's the man, the first Adam, by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Let's say it together. We reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Let's say that again. We reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We should say that in our life. As we acknowledge the good things in us, we should say in our daily walk, I reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I reign in life by Him, not by myself. Not by others, but by Him. He gives us the strength. He gives us the victory. Praise the Lord. And let's finish with Romans 8. Just get a little bit further. Romans 8, verse 37. And we're going to confess this too. Romans 8, verse 37. And Let's read this one out together, Romans 8, verse 37, and we'll read this out together. Ready? Let's read. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise the Lord. This is important for us to understand. We are more than conquerors. In fact, the Bible calls us overcomers. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us. He loved us. He gave his life for us. He became a sacrifice for us. He gave his all, and we should give our all. Glory to God. In all these things, in all the things around us, in all the afflictions, in the world, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We should say that. You know, I am more than a conqueror. Say that in your life. Say it in your life. Put it into your mouth. Acknowledge that that's a good thing that is in you through Christ. It's in you that you are more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. And that's through us looking into the Word, believing it, and responding to it. And I pray that this morning you have been encouraged that in Christ you are something. Outside of Christ, you have nothing. But in Christ, he has done the work to make you something. He's made you into a new creature. He's made you righteous. He's given you good things. He's saved you. He's redeemed you. He's made you free. In Christ, you are something and you have something. You are not a nobody. In Christ, you are somebody. You are a son or a daughter of God. And praise the Lord. We have only a dim view at the moment as to just how great that is. But we can have a greater view by looking into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, having that excellency. If you're excellent at something, you know about it. You know about it. We should be excellent in the knowledge of Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that you have made us in Christ new creatures. We have wonderful things invested into our hearts now. Our hearts have been made new. We are new, a new man in our heart, a new inner man. Praise you for that, Lord. And we glory in the Lord. We glory in you, Lord. We don't glory in ourselves or in others or in what we've done or achieved, but we glory in you. And we confess every day. And Lord, I pray that this word by the Holy Ghost would be so much of a fire within us that it will be within us something we can take forward into a dark world. And as people of light, burn in this dark world. Burn according to light. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Let us all be witnesses in God. We praise you for that, Lord. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Glory to God.